Well, good evening. It's good to see everybody that's here tonight. Glad to have you with us in person. Glad to have you there online. Whether you're on any one of those social media platforms, YouTube, Facebook, Twitter, any of that, be sure to heart, like, share, follow us, subscribe, and welcome to those who are on our phone live streaming also. If you have any issues with any of those, please go to Facebook if you can get there and be able to come in, unless it's having issues. But you can call the church office and let us know. Just leave a message. We'll get that, and we can look at the system tomorrow to make sure what might need to be changed. But especially with the phone live streaming, we've had some issues with it not calling out. So hopefully we've got everybody on all of those platforms tonight. So welcome there. If you have access to the church website, go to highlandbaptistchurch.com. It's under the info tab that you can download the worship bulletin for this week, as well as the children's worship bulletins. Those are in the windowsills to my right. The bulletins are all around at the entrances. We also have the prayer list there on both sides up here at the front. So if you didn't get one in person, be sure to grab one. This is also under that info tab at home, so be sure to download that so that you can be praying through each one of those on the prayer list. While you're there on the church website, go to the far right hand side, click the Give Online tab, real easy platform there that's set up for you to do your online giving. You can do that in person with the envelopes. The white envelopes are your regular offering. The pink envelopes are the golden offering for Tennessee Missions. You'd think if it's golden offering, but it's not golden for color. It's golden for the last names of the Golden family who this ministry, this offering was began because of. And so the pink envelopes are for that offering. There is a designation that you can do there under that offering on the website. So be sure to do that. Continue to pray for the missions, for the Tennessee Baptist missions through that, as you continue to pray what God would have you to give towards that. This coming Saturday and Sunday is our last weekend of doing portraits for our church directory. If for some reason you didn't get in on that, or maybe you had to cancel your appointment, please call the church office. We are trying to squeeze some people in at certain times where we've got a lesser amount of people that's going to be there at once. And so call the church office. We'll let you know what we've got that we can try to squeeze you in at on either Saturday or Sunday. If you're at home and you're one of our shut-ins, or you're maybe in the nursing home there watching, we want to remind you too, we're going to be contacting you here in the next couple of weeks to set up a time to come and take your picture also. You thought you were getting out of it, didn't you? But you're not. We want you to be a part of this also. And so we'll be calling you here, not this week, but we'll be calling you next week and then setting up that time when it's convenient for you to be able to get that picture taken also. We'll come there. We'll take the picture there, whether that's at home, whether that's at the nursing home, wherever you might be. Also want to remind you about the Christmas backpacks. We've got all of those back except for one, and she promised me she's bringing it tomorrow. So we appreciate that. Thank you so much. You can see those on the left of the stage over here. There's 28 that are here. I've got one in my office because I still got the track information to put into it, and then the one that'll come tomorrow. So that'll make 30 backpacks that we're sending. All of those backpacks stay in Middle Tennessee. So wherever, whichever church, if you're in East Tennessee, the ones given there stay in East Tennessee. There's ministries all throughout Middle Tennessee that have requested enough for the backpacks. And so I think 7,000 is the goal for the whole of Tennessee. And so that's an awesome ministry we get to be a part of. If all the ministries' needs are met here in Middle Tennessee, I'm sure the extras will go to East Tennessee to minister to those kids over there for Christmas, to help them to have a good Christmas. We'll be doing some more things like that as we get closer to the holiday season. We've got the Angel Tree program that'll be coming up for the Head Start kids, and so just wanted to remind you that. We've also got Trunk or Treat coming up. We're getting ready to send these cards out tomorrow or Friday at the latest. We've got them all labeled and got them all stamped, so they're all ready to go. We just got to get them there to the post office. I got to make sure all our numbers are correct on that before we do that, but we want you to be encouraging others. This will be out on our social media. It'll be in our Facebook group for the church, as well as on the Facebook page. So be sure to share that, heart it, comment on it, use it, send it to others, to invite others. We'll be doing an ad that'll go out on Facebook with this, but we just wanted to remind you of that. We're putting together the packets right now, so we may need some help with some individuals for that. I'll let you know that this Sunday, where we're at on that, but just wanted to make you aware of that. If you're interested in being a part of the Trunk or Treat, there is a sign-up sheet on the board out here. We need people to just bring a car. We've got decorations if you don't have decorations. If you've got a theme you want to do, you can do your own theme and bring your own decorations. But we want you to give out candy, and we have a couple of different things that we'll be giving out. Miss Linda will be giving out information about our Awana program as kids are coming through. We'll be giving out at ours a track and some other information about our church there, as well as candy and stuff that we'll be giving. So you can do that aspect of it. You can help us with parking. You can help us with security. You can help us with preparing food. There'll be hot dogs and hamburgers and those kinds of things. There'll be hot chocolate, so you can help prepare that. You can help just bring it back and forth down as it's being made and help serve it, and as well as water that we'll have. So who knows what the weather will be. It's cold this week. It'll be hot next week. So who knows what it'll be on October 31st, but hopefully it'll be good enough for some hot chocolate for that night. So just wanted to remind you that. Be sure to sign up on that paper. We've had a few people who've signed up already, but we want to make sure we get everybody listed on there. Brother Mike, if you'll come.
Good to see all those backpacks. I told Brother Jim that I've not seen that many backpacks at one time since the 70s when I was in the Boy Scouts. So it's good to see them, though. Take your hymnals, and if you would, stand, and let's sing Holy, 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 hymn number 2.
The Lord for good tech people. When things go wrong on the screens and stuff, that's when everybody notices that there's a tech person. But things went wrong a little bit there, and it wasn't his fault. It was my fault. I didn't put the song in. But he knew right where to go to add that in. So just wanted to bring attention to that. They don't get the praise when the good things do happen there that you don't even know about that are going on behind the scenes. So thank you, Ben. Worked that out good. All right, take your prayer list. Hopefully at home you had that, got that downloaded. I'm going to try to get over to Facebook myself. Make sure I'm volume down. If you have a prayer request at home, we want to encourage you to go to Facebook, and that's where you'll make your comments there. That's what we'll see for the live. If you don't have Facebook, don't want to do Facebook, that's totally fine. We just won't be able to see your comments there live. So just call the church office. Any of those other platforms, it's open for you to comment on those. So be sure to comment in any of those that you have access to there. So hopefully you've had the opportunity to get that downloaded at the website under the info tab. Hopefully you've gotten one in person there at the front here if you didn't. All right, as you take a look at your prayer list, we're just going to go over just the bottom portion here of each one of these sections here. As you look at Linda Jones is about where we'll start. Well, we'll start actually at David Hess. Do we have any update on him?
He didn't
do
an update this time, so I'm
sort of the morning on Saturday. Okay. Okay, so he hasn't given an update yet. If you don't remember, or maybe you don't know, he and his wife do a YouTube video blog that they share every week to give updates on what's going on, but they didn't share anything this week on that. We think that maybe they're waiting on some scans, some results from that before they put out their next video. So keep them in your prayers. Keep him in your prayers as he continues that journey he's on. Continue to remember Miss Linda Jones as they continue to deal with the hole that she has in her heart and the other heart issues that she's addressing. Keep her in your prayers for that. Brian Tate, as he's doing better, recovering from his surgery. George Duncan, keep him in your prayers. He's okay, so he's getting more upbeat, and that's a good thing, because if you know George, it's always another day in paradise, and that wasn't always the way it was in the time, this last time he had to be in the hospital and in rehab, and so that's encouraging to hear that he's still got some procedures upcoming, but at least has a positive outlook on those things, so keep him in your prayers, Brother George. Remember Christy Gaddis, she did good with her procedure and just some changes she's having to make. With other things, so keep her in your prayers. Lee and Sue Stevenson, keep them in your prayers. Lee especially with his medical issues that he has, and then especially for Sue as she's taking care of him. I remember Janet Carter, she's back at home now. Spoke to her the other day. She was having some issues with the phone live streaming service calling her, so if any of you are out there and you're having any issues like that, please call the church office during our church hours, our business hours, and we'll be glad to look and see what's going on there to help you to get connected, reconnected there. Yes. Yes, and she's doing pretty good. Miss Carolyn Waller had some issues and had to go to the hospital. She is back at home doing better, but she had some other things go on this past weekend. So just keep her in your prayers. Michelle Olson, we found out she had to cancel her appointment on Saturday for pictures. She was here on Friday working at the ministry here that we open up, the ministry center for the people who are here for the food ministry at the Westside Nazarene. Judy took her home. Next day, her family had to take her to the hospital. And so she was in the hospital. She has messaged me, but I've not gotten a reply message back from the message I replied back to her to find out if she's still there or if she's been released yet. But I know she's had some breathing issues, so keep her in your prayers with that. And then Don Dixon had his ablation Monday, talked to Brother Bobby, and he said that he did really well with that. They had to keep him overnight just for observation and stuff, and he was supposed to go home. So thank you for your prayers for him, and just continue to keep him in your prayers. Any other Highland Baptist Church family that we need to add? Okay. Okay, so this is Ken Adcock. He's got shoulder surgery coming up real soon, so keep him in your prayers. Any other Highland Baptist Church family before we go to the friends and family? All right, on the friends and family side, just continue to remember Jay Barbier, as well as Tim Forsyth, both of those with cancer issues. Tim came through his surgery well, but is still recovering and will still have some more things to go on with his cancer things. Jay is still also having treatments. Remember the Ray family. These are related to Matt Kohler. Keep Bethany Stringfield Brooks in your prayers. She's got her upcoming surgery. Is it next week or the following week?
Next week.
So keep her in your prayers for that. And so we also have Philip Schell, who's on the prayer list and still no change, not doing good. So keep him in your prayers. David and Joni Peck, keep them in your prayers. Teresa Kohler, who is Matt's mom with her torn meniscus. Brad Tatum with his foot surgery that he had and still recovering from that. I think he's got about another week or so with his boot on. And then also remember Jacob Neal. It was a request from Shamari Myers. Any other friends and family? All right. And then in the nursing home assisted living list, we have Mary Campbell at NHC, Bertie Davis at Brookdale, Sue Prince at Morning Point, Beverly Daniels at Morning Point, Susie Barton at Morning Point, and Hoyt Farrell at Legacy Nursing Home. Are there any others we may need to add or update on those? We don't always ask that, but just wanted to make sure we did that tonight. I don't see any other requests there on Facebook. If you don't have any others, we do want to continue to remember all the people that are still dealing with the devastating effects from the hurricane that came up this way, up through Georgia, North Carolina, Tennessee, all the people that are still affected and were doubly affected in Florida with Helene and then with Milton. So keep them all in your prayers. Pray for those people, especially up in East Tennessee. They had snow last night along the ridge there. Mountain City had snow, and I know the North Carolina side had snow. So to have that on top of trying to rebuild, trying to recover, and you got bitter cold, there's lots of other needs then that are coming along with that. So we'll be transitioning out of the phase of providing the immediate need things and starting to provide the more long-term needs. And as winter comes on, there's going to be more of those long-term needs. If you've ever been in the mountains up there, it gets cold and snow and windy. So keep all of those people in your prayers. All right, let's go to the Lord in prayer then for these, as well as maybe other unspoken needs you have. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for the blessing of this day. Thank you for sending your son, Jesus, who died on the cross for our sins. Thank you that we have the privilege to come before your throne of grace, to seek your face, Lord, on behalf of others, to pray for them, to uplift their needs before you. Lord, sometimes we don't feel like our needs are that important, that maybe somebody else's needs are more important than mine. But Lord, I pray that you would help us to realize that every single one of us, that our needs are important to you. And so, Father, I pray that as we come before you to lift up these needs, we don't want anything to hinder our talk with you, our prayers with you. We want to have effectual, fervent prayers. And a part of that, Lord, is to make sure that there's no sin that we're harboring, that we're holding on to in our lives, that we would confess it, Lord, that we would repent of it, turn away from it. So bring anything to our mind, bring anything in our lives out into the light of the truth of your word, Lord, that we might recognize it for what it is, and that we might confess it and repent of it and have that powerful prayer life with you. Lord, sometimes we think certain things may not be sinful, but you do. Lord, we call sometimes things good that are wrong. And so help us to see those things, Lord. Help us to come with humble hearts before you, seeking to have that cleansing before you. And Lord, we pray that you'll cast our sin as far as the east is from the west. Wash us as white as snow. Give us a fresh new start with you. And Father, I pray that we'll do better today or even tomorrow than we did the day before. And Father, I pray that you will help us to walk with you, empower us with your Holy Spirit to draw closer to you than each and every day. Lord, be with as we come on behalf of each one of these that are on our prayer list, you know each person's name, each person's situation, even those that we didn't mention by name tonight. Lord, you know their life circumstance. And Father, we know that you own the cattle on a thousand hills. There is nothing that is not at your disposal to meet the needs of each one of these prayer requests that we've mentioned tonight. So we just ask, God, that you would do that. Shower these people with your grace that is sufficient for all of their needs. Father, I pray that you would use the circumstances and situations that they're going through to bring them closer to you. Father, that if they don't know Christ as their Lord and Savior, this would be an opportunity, Lord, for them to trust in you. If they do know Christ as their Lord and Savior, I pray, God, that you will strengthen them in their faith with you, that their life in the midst of suffering will be a testimony and a witness to their families, to their caregivers, to their doctors, and those who are around them. And Father, I just pray for your will to be done. Some of these are recovering, Lord, from surgeries and procedures. Some have ongoing issues. Some have some upcoming surgeries. And so we just uplift them all into your hands. We lay them at your feet, and we ask God for your will to be done in their lives. Lord, guide surgeons for upcoming surgeries. Give doctors wisdom and discernment. Give the caregivers, Lord, a blessing as they're taking care of their loved ones and those that are taking care of those in the nursing homes. Father, we just pray a special blessing upon each one of them. Lord, we pray for others who are on this list, Lord, who, Lord, they have more needs than just the physical need that they're going through. So much more that many times comes along with that, medical bills that come along with that, family strife and issues that sometimes come along with that, sometimes marital issues, family issues. And so, Lord, whatever their problems might be, and they may be many, Lord, we know that none of it is too big for you. None of it is too much for you. You are an all-powerful and almighty God. And so we just ask for you to touch them. Lord, we pray that you'll make your presence known to them. We pray, God, that you'll bring healing to their lives, that you'll restore them in every aspect of their life. Lord, that it might be a witness, that we might share with others the great and mighty things that you have done, how your hand has been at work to bring about healing and to meet the needs of each one of these individuals. We pray, Lord, and continue to pray for those who are suffering and hurting from the hurricanes that have happened in the last few weeks, especially, Lord, we pray for those that have lost loved ones, for you to comfort their hearts. Father, for those who may not even still yet know where their loved one is yet, Father, I pray that you'll be with those who are seeking to recover the bodies, to guide them, Lord, to where those individuals are. Father, I pray that you would be with those who are still suffering because of the devastation and don't even have a home right now, or maybe their home is damaged badly. And so, Father, especially as the cold weather is coming on, we just pray, God, that you will provide for their needs, to give them a warm place, Lord. Use us in whatever way that we can to be a blessing to those people. Thank you for the opportunities we've had already to send things to help people in those immediate needs, to send financially to help in those needs too. And so, Father, we just pray that you will take and use all of that to share the gospel with people that will be ministered to through those disaster relief ministries, and Father, through the churches that are there. Lord, there are still many people across the mountainous areas there that are without power, that have been without power for more than 2 weeks now. And so, Father, we just pray that as cold weather has come on, Lord, that you will just watch over them, keep them safe, protect them. Father, we pray for many who are cut off even from modern civilization, if you will, because of the roads that have been washed out. And Father, I pray that you'll just have your hand upon them. Lord, be with our children tonight who are here for Awana as we begin to start back after our fall break. Lord, I pray that you'll just continue to give them a passion and a hunger for you, to know your word more faithfully as they are learning scripture in Awana, as they're playing games too, as they're having fun. Build those relationships. Lord, I pray that the gospel seed will be planted in their hearts, whether that's in missions, whether that's in music, whether that's in the Bible story time or the scripture memorization. Lord, that every aspect of it would be a ministry to those children and to their families. Father, we pray for the upcoming trunk or treat that's going to minister to kids and families in our community. Lord, we pray that you'll already begin preparing the hearts of those who need to be here to be be here for that event. Lord, that we would be able to talk with them, to encourage them to faith in Christ. And Father, I just pray that you will just help us to have a great outpouring of your Spirit as we seek to meet those needs, as we seek to encourage people, to bring joy and hope into their lives through Jesus Christ. And Father, I pray that you'll just bless that ministry in an awesome way. Help us all to seek to serve in our part in the way that we can. Be with our youth, Lord, as they continue to grow. Father, I pray that you'll be with Pastor Matt and those who are leading in our youth ministry. Father, I pray that you will bless them in a powerful way. Lord, continue to bring unity amongst that group. Continue to send your Spirit that would bring that unity amongst them. And Father, for them to help, to help them, Lord, to see the priorities that they need in their life. Even if the rest of their friends don't follow you, Lord, I pray that they will. Father, we pray tonight that as we come to the book of Isaiah, may you make your word powerful and alive and sharp to us. Lord, may it be convicting. May it be instructive. May it be a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. May it be a warning to us of the days ahead and the end times also, as we are in the end times even now. And so, Father, I pray that your blessing will be upon your word. Use it to strengthen our faith, to grow us in our walk with you. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen and amen. Well, take your Bibles, if you will, and turn to Isaiah chapter 23. Isaiah chapter 23. There's 18 verses here. We're going to move as quickly as we can through these 18 verses. I've entitled this The Oracle of Tyre because that's the name of the place that this oracle is addressed to. But I've also given it a subtitle that you don't see on your screen that is this, Stripped of Their Glory. Stripped of Their Glory. And as I thought of that title and as I thought of Tyre and Sidon that it mentions here, there's a lot of correlation in this to us in America, in our Western society here. So be looking for that as we go through these verses of the things that are upcoming. So let's just begin with verse 1, and then I'll go back and begin to share with you these points. So verse 1 says, this is the oracle concerning Tyre. Wail, O ships of Tarshish, for Tyre is laid waste without house or harbor. From the land of Cyprus, it is revealed to them. Now, one of the things we're going to see as we look at this nation, this city of Tyre, is that God despises sinful pride. There's a right pride, and there is a wrong pride. Pride in oneself is essential. You ought to have pride in yourself. It's essential for a healthy personality, for a productive, fruitful life. If you're always thinking negative of yourself and you're never taking any pride in who you are, you're going to have a miserable life. And so we ought to have a pride in ourselves to a degree. Everyone should value themselves because you are valuable to God. Sometimes people have an issue with that, though they struggle with seeing the value in who they are. They struggle with issues of self-esteem. But so pride in oneself is essential there. We should value ourselves, but not too highly. And that's repeated over and over in the scriptures. Have pride in yourself, but don't think of yourself above others. Don't hold yourself above your others, because every person has weaknesses that have to be acknowledged in order to strengthen them. You know, an unacknowledged weakness will grow into a greater weakness, and the greater a weakness is, the more it begins to eat away at a person's strength. So for that reason, we need to never walk around arrogantly, never walk around exalting ourselves, never walk around denying our weaknesses, to realize there are none of us who are here tonight, none of us who are watching that are perfect. None of us. We have all sinned. The Bible says, Jesus himself said, there is none that is good, no, not one. But when we're always looking at ourselves, thinking only of our own affairs and not the affairs of others, that's being self-centered. We're considering ourselves more important than others. And so to avoid that, We have to give attention to the concerns of others, walking humbly in life, making sure that, Lord, help me to live humbly before you and before others this day. That ought to be a part of your prayer every day. Acknowledging others, being friendly with others, all of that pleases the Lord. And so no matter what our social position in life is, no matter where we live in America and we're privileged in that. Many people don't live in America around this world, and they don't have a lot of the freedoms and a lot of the benefits that we have in this nation. And so we need, no matter where we live, we need to realize that no matter how much money we make, we're to acknowledge the dignity of all other human beings. Every human being is a living person with an immortal soul that is important to God. And that doesn't matter who the person is, doesn't matter what their lifestyle has been. Doesn't matter if they're homosexual, doesn't matter if they've been a murderer, doesn't matter if they've been a dictator, doesn't matter who they are. Charles Manson himself is important to God. He had an immortal soul, and those individuals have an immortal soul. And so we're to take an interest in and have a care for our fellow human beings. So to esteem ourselves more highly than anybody else, that is sinful pride. And the Bible tells us that God despises that. God even hates pride. Sinful pride was the greatest problem of the ancient city of Tyre and even of Sidon. In the days of Isaiah the prophet, Tyre was already an ancient city, having been founded more than 2,000 years before Isaiah's day. It was a great commercial center. It was a great shopping center area. It was one of the major market centers of the world. Many things that were transacted and moved of goods from one place to another came through Tyre and Sidon. So it was this great commercial major market center of the world. Now remember the relationship that David had established with King Hiram, who was the ruler of Tyre, which was only about 100 miles north of Jerusalem because of that city's excellent seaport. Because of their seaport, the best quality materials were shipped from all around the world. Interestingly, the infamous Jezebel, who was the daughter of the king of Sidon, the twin city of Tyre. So Tyre and Sidon are twin cities. It's located about 25 miles north of Tyre, Sidon is. In this scripture, Isaiah is pronouncing God's judgment on Tyre, and this great seaport city, he says, is going to be destroyed because of its sinful pride and the wicked lives of its citizens. So here's the first point I want you to see. There's only two, but it's not a short message because it's only two. Here's the two things I want you to see. First of all, is a picture of being humbled by God. A picture of being humbled by God. You see that in verse 1 down through verse 14 as we read about the destruction of Tyre's harbor that's predicted. Part of this important commercial city had been built on an island. So Tyre's a seaport city, but part of it is off the coast there. Part of it is on an island that's about a half mile offshore from the main part of the city. In Isaiah's day, the Assyrian king Sargon conquered the city that was on the mainland, but he never conquered the island port of Tyre. Sometime later, both Shalmaneser and Nebuchadnezzar of Babylon attacked the city, but it was only Alexander the Great who was able to conquer that offshore island in 332 BC. He did it by building a roadway from the mainland to the island. Engineering there. And Alexander the Great did a lot of things like that all throughout the Holy Land. If you ever study about the Holy Land, you'll see some of that. Think about Masada and how they were able to attack at Masada, things that he had done. The Romans learned to be able to attack Masada when the Jews were held up there. He did it by building that roadway. And after he reached the island, he completely destroyed it and destroyed the harbor itself. Later, the city was rebuilt, because the book of Acts tells us that a church was firmly established in Tyre in Acts chapter 21 in verse 3 to verse 6. So even as you're reading the Old Testament, there's always some information we can learn for our lives in the New Testament. But from the time of Isaiah until the time it was rebuilt, the city was going to be attacked over and over and over. It was going to be suffering the judgment of God because of the people's defiance, because of their rejection of the Lord, because of the pride in their hearts. And when the hand of God's judgment fell upon the city of Tyre, deep sorrow gripped all the nations surrounding the Mediterranean Sea. Why? Well, here's why. Look at verse 1 down through verse 5 again. So we've already read there that he told us in verse 1, wail, cry, O ships of Tarshish, for Tyre is laid waste without house or harbor. From the land of Cyprus it is revealed to them. Verse 2, be still, O inhabitants of the coast. The merchants of Sidon who crossed the sea have filled you. And on many waters your revenue was the grain of Shihor, the harvest of the Nile. You were the merchant of the nations. Be ashamed, O Sidon, for the sea has spoken, the stronghold of the sea, saying, I have neither labored nor given birth. I have neither reared young men nor brought up young women. When the report comes to Egypt, they will be in anguish over the report about Tyre. Why did the other nations care? Why were the other nations gripped with sorrow when Tyre falls? It was because of that ideal harbor that Tyre had become, that great trade center for all these countries. These countries were sending their goods through Tyre. So when Tyre is destroyed, think about it. The best materials from all over the world had been shipped there. Even Solomon. Solomon had turned to Tyre in search of building materials for the temple in Jerusalem. The city was that commercial capital, the hub of all the shipping trade routes there in the Mediterranean world. And so consequently, the economy of all these nations were going to suffer because of what was going to happen to Tyre when it was going to be cut off. The trade would be cut off when God's hand of judgment fell. You see here the catastrophic impact that its fall would have on the nations surrounding the Mediterranean Sea. Think about the things he mentions here. He says, wail, O ships, sailors, the sailors of Tarshish. Tarshish is the area of Spain, would cry in sorrow because of this great seaport of Tyre that would be completely destroyed. Not a single house, he says, is going to be left standing. The harbor's going to be so devastated, no ship's going to be able to dock in its port. The economy of Cyprus, he says, would especially be hurt. He says Cyprus, which is way further over close to the Aegean Sea, so if you've got the Mediterranean Sea here, here's the coastal area where Tyre is. Cyprus is way over here, a couple of hundred miles away. But because of the economic impact of the destruction of Tyre, it affects Cyprus. They would be hurt. As an island, they were totally dependent, Cyprus was, on the products that were shipped in from the mainland. And this was one of the main sources for their goods, for their food, and things that would be shipped from one place to another. Cyprus would be the first nation to feel the impact of Tyre's destruction. And so Isaiah said that word of Tyre's fall would come from the land of Cyprus. Seamen would bring in the news with them when they would come to dock in Cyprus. They would say, you won't believe what's happened. You won't believe the destruction that's happened in Tyre. It'd be kind of akin to what's happened here in the United States back in 2001 with the destruction of the Twin Towers there in New York City. It didn't just affect us. It affected nations that depend upon the United States and things for things. And it was an economic ripple that happened all across the world. You could just imagine how in this day it was even magnified even more, because this was one of those major port cities here. When the city of Tyre's collapse reached these countries, the usual loud noise that would be heard in the ports, think about that. You got seamen coming in, you got goods and things being offloaded off of ships, put onto ships. There's lots of noise when you're in a seaport. It's going to be quiet. That's what verse 2 is saying. It's going to be silent. He said there's not going to be any loading. There's not going to be any unloading of ships from Tyre. The shipping economy is going to be completely destroyed. Think about all the ships that maybe had been in the port there of Tyre when all of this happens. Jobs would be lost. Money would dry up. Businesses would collapse. Great seaports would lose much, if not all, of their commercial traffic. All business that flowed from the international seaport of Tyre would come to a complete standstill. Sidon, which was 25 miles north of there, the other major Phoenician city, would suffer complete economic collapse because it was totally dependent on the commercial traffic of Tyre. Apparently, Sidon's economy rested upon selling those goods that came into Tyre to countries that were inland. And so he tells us also, Egypt's going to hear about all this. Egypt's economy is going to suffer. They're hundreds of miles away, even further than Cyprus, and they're going to be affected by the destruction of Tyre. Egypt's economy is especially dependent upon the harbor at Tyre because its leaders, remember we talked about this before, they had sent those emissaries to go and make agreements with other nations to help them to come against the Assyrians. Well, part of those agreements were things like trade goods and services also, and so they depended on the merchants of Tyre to export their grain. And out of all the products shipped in that day, grain was probably the most important. But now with Tyre destroyed, Egypt can't trade any longer its immense harvest from the fertile land of the Nile River. There's not another major port to send their goods to. When Sidon sees its economy collapse, the city is going to hang its head in shame. That's what verse 4 is saying. Be ashamed, O Sidon, because of what you see. All the import, all the export trade upon which the city had depended is going to be lost. So a number of children from Sidon would grow up to the number of them that would sail the seas would be few. There would be no port from which they could sail. And again, Isaiah forewarns the Egyptians, as well as the people of Judah and the world, Tyre's destruction is going to cause economic devastation that's going to have ripple effects around the world. Egypt especially is going to be in agony due to the catastrophic impact on its economy. So Isaiah strongly suggests when the hand of God's judgment begins to fall, you people in Tyre, you need to flee while you still can. Notice verse 6 and verse 7. He says to them, to the people of Tyre, because he's prophesying this is what's going to happen. He says, cross over to Tarshish. Wail, O inhabitants of the coast. Is this your exultant city, whose origin is from days of old, over 2,000 years old, whose feet carried her to settle far away? So all that pride in that city and their port that they had there, he says they ought to flee as far away, all the way to Tarshish, all the way to Spain, if possible. Tyre, that city of joy, a city that was a city of revelry and wealth. You think of port cities, you think of New Orleans being a port city and all the festivities and things that happen in a city like that. And that's the way Tyre would have been. In Isaiah's day, the city of Tyre, as we said, was already over 2,000 years old. Sadly, though, down through the years, the citizens had turned away from the Lord. They had defied the Lord. They had rebelled against the Lord. And now, after 2,000 years, the city was going to suffer God's judgment. After 2,000 years. So understand that. We may think, why doesn't God's hand of judgment come yet if we're doing wrong? Some people think, well, it hasn't come yet, so it must be okay what we're doing, the way we're living. But here it was 2,000 years that God stayed his hand of judgment. How long will he do that for us in the United States? I don't know. But I believe he is staying his hand of judgment upon us. He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to salvation. And so for them, it was over 2,000 years here till God's judgment came upon them. So the prophet here, Isaiah, he gives the wisest advice to anybody who would hear. He says, you need to flee. Flee the wrath of God. Who was it that had planned this judgment of destruction upon Tyre, a city so mighty and rich? It was God himself. Notice what verse 8 says. The question he knows that's being asked here. He says, who has purposed this against Tyre, the bestower of crowns, whose merchants were princes, whose traders were honored of the earth? The Lord of hosts is the one who's purposed it. It's not the Assyrians. It's not the Medo-Persians. It's not the Babylonians. It's the Lord of hosts himself that has purposed it to defile the pompous pride of all glory, to dishonor all the honored of the earth. Cross over your land like the Nile, O daughter of Tarshish. There is no restraint anymore. He has stretched out his hand over the sea. He has shaken the kingdoms. The Lord has given command concerning Canaan to destroy its strongholds. And he said, you will no more exult, O oppressed virgin, daughter of Sidon. Arise, cross over to Cyprus. Even there you'll have no rest. Behold, the land of the Chaldeans, that's the Babylonians. This is the people that was not. Assyria destined it for wild beasts. They erected their siege towers. They stripped her palaces bare. They made her a ruin. And then he says it again. Wail, O ships of Tarshish, O ships of Spain, for your stronghold is laid waste. It was the Lord Almighty who had planned it. He had a very specific purpose in mind, and it was to humble the powerful, proud nations of the earth. Not just Tyre, but Egypt and Cyprus and Tarshish and all the nations of the world, to humble them. He would humble them by devastating their economies. Some, and maybe most, would suffer financial collapse and the loss of all their possessions and wealth. To stress how completely destroyed Tyre would be, Isaiah gives a graphic sevenfold description of the coming judgment in verse 10 down through verse 14. In verse 10, he talked about the trade of Tarshish, of Spain, would cease when the harbor of Tyre was destroyed in verse 10. And so Spain's economy would become extremely weak. Secondly, all the kingdoms around the Mediterranean Sea would be shaken to their core. Their economies would collapse or be on the verge of collapsing. And notice why. Because the Lord will have stretched out his hand over the Mediterranean Sea, and it's he alone who would ruin the economies of these countries as he brings judgment upon those who have rejected him, who had defied him. Notice thirdly, there's a definite command from the Lord himself that doomed the merchant nation Phoenicia and destroyed its defenses in the second half of verse 11, where he says, the Lord has given command concerning Canaan to destroy its stronghold. The Hebrew word here is Canaan, but others translate it Phoenicia. The emphasis here, though, is that as Isaiah is thinking of Phoenicia, it's a part of the promised land of Canaan. So he's saying that the whole promised land is going to feel the effects of this invading army that devastated the land of Phoenicia. All the joy, all the revelry of Tyre is just going to stop just like that. As has been true with all major cities down through history, Tyre was a city of partying. It was a city of drunkenness. It was a city of immorality. And so when the hand of God's judgment falls upon it, all of that wickedness immediately stops at once. I mean, think back. We forget this, but think back to 9/11. How quickly people's whole attitudes began to change. I remember back in the 90s and 80s, the image you had of New York City was that people there are rude. It's not a nice place to go to. It's just that kind of ominous kind of feeling when you go there. After 9/11, we've talked with some of the families who live there who told us that things changed for them. People realized what was more important, and it wasn't all of those things. And so when we went there several years ago, it was a totally different thing than what our picture in our mind was from the 80s and 90s of New York. After 9/11, that all changed. It was like everything stopped. You remember when 9/11 happened, people started seeking the Lord. Churches were filled with people because we didn't know what in the world was coming. What was the next thing that was going to happen? And people were searching for answers. And immediately, all of that stopped. People who were pitted one against another, different political parties against another, all of that stopped. And everybody was together in those moments and those times. What is it going to take for us today to get back to a place like that? Here was Tyre that was going to be destroyed. Even if the refugees from Tyre, he says, fled to Cyprus, they're not going to find any rest there. They're not going to find any escape from the suffering there, because the economy of Cyprus is going to collapse due to all this that's happened. Isaiah might also have been warning that the cruel Assyrians were going to conquer Cyprus, which they eventually did. Because there was no way they could defend themselves. They were suffering and hurting at that point. So Tyre was going to be destroyed just like Babylon had been destroyed by Assyria. That's what verse 13 is saying. So that ancient city would be attacked, would be sieged, would be completely ruined. He even tells us there that only the wild animals would inhabit that place. And again, Tyre's destruction, he reminds us once again, is going to affect the sailors of Spain, of Tarshish, who represented the world, to weep, and he tells them to weep over their economic loss. Now, the word for strength there, or fortress, is referring to the strong economy of that area, maybe other countries. But notice this section closes just like it opened with. He said, cry, wail, in verse 1, and now in verse 14, he repeats it again. You know, as we've talked about studying the Bible, when something is repeated, it's important for us to understand. And so know this, when God's judgment fell upon Tyre, the known world of that day was completely humbled. The day is coming when our world will one day be humbled again. God has forewarned us already in the scriptures, in the prophecies of the coming judgment. The day of judgment is coming. And so understand, either we can humble ourselves now, or God will humble us in that day. We can either bow the knee before Christ now, or we will bow the knee in the day of judgment. The choice is ours. If we reject or we deny the Lord, if we defy His name in this world, He will humble us. No defiant person will escape. Any person who refuses to acknowledge God's Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, the Bible tells us will be humbled. God loves His Son above everything else, so much so that He will never tolerate the abuse of Christ's name. And we see that rampant on every hand as we look around. If a person walks through life defying and cursing the Lord's name, there's no chance that person will ever escape the hand of God's judgment. That kind of person will come to the end of life and suddenly be snatched into the next life, still continuing in their defiance, still continuing in their unbelief, still continuing in their cursing of the name of Jesus. Don't believe it? Read the book of Revelation. It tells us even in the final judgments that come upon the nations of the world, you're going to see that continually happen. They're going to continue to be separated from God forever, and God will reject that kind of person because they never bowed the knee to humble themselves and acknowledge Jesus Christ as God's Son, the Savior of the world. So that's the picture he gives us. Secondly, I want you to see a look ahead to the coming kingdom of Christ. So he gives a picture of being humbled by God, that Tyre and the nations of the world are being humbled. But now he looks forward even beyond. He looks way far forward to the coming kingdom of Christ in verse 15 to verse 18. So we see the hope of Tyre's restoration predicted in verse 15. He says, in that day, in what day? In that day of the coming kingdom of Christ, in that day, Tyre will be forgotten. Well, in the day of judgment, the Tyre will be forgotten for 70 years, like the days of one king. At the end of 70 years, it will happen to Tyre as in the song of the prostitute. So once Tyre's destroyed, the city that had once been a commercial giant among nations, they're going to be forgotten. A whole generation is going to grow up and not even know what was Tyre. That's a bunch of ruins over there. We didn't know anything about that. You might remember it as the older generation, what it used to look like. That's what he's saying here. They're going to be forgotten. It's no longer going to be an international hub for shipping or trade or business dealings. And from the perspective of the international business, the city is going to lie dormant for 70 years. And from about 700 B.C., to 630 BC, the Assyrians ruled over Tyre, and they refused to allow the city to recapture its former commercial glory, just what Isaiah said would happen. But at the end of the 70 years, about the time that Assyria's power begins to decline, Isaiah had predicted that Tyre is going to seek to arise from the ashes of economic devastation. And he uses this graphic language that he says that Tyre is going to be like an old prostitute who tries to once again use her trade, by singing songs to get all those nations to come back to her. Look at verse 16 and verse 17. Here's the song of the prostitute. Take a harp. Go about the city, O forgotten prostitute. Make sweet melody. Sing many songs that you may be remembered. Verse 17, at the end of 70 years, the Lord will visit Tyre, and she will return to her wages and will prostitute herself with all the kingdoms of the world on the face of the earth. So no doubt here Isaiah is picturing this worn out but proud city. They're wanting to regain their former glory. Sometimes we find ourselves in our own nation in that place, wanting to restore the former glory of the United States, when really it's not about the United States. It's all about the Lord and His kingdom that we need to be focused on. But notice, it's going to be the Lord Himself who's going to be stirring up Tyre to once again become this world-class economic center for commercial shipping. Just like he says, just like an old prostitute, Tyre is going to come again. They're going to commit fornication with other nations, carrying on selfishness and immorality and dishonest business dealings. And even though not all the business dealings are illegitimate, some are. And when people with depraved hearts begin to engage in any endeavor, they begin to tarnish that undertaking with their sinful dealings. And so it would be with Tyre. Many of its commercial dealings would be honest, but many of them would be corrupt also. And they would seek to become their former glory. But notice the wonderful promise of God made to the citizens of Tyre. Looking way ahead, the Lord promised the city and its citizens a full restoration. When? In the future kingdom of the promised Messiah, the Lord Jesus Christ. Look at verse 18. Her merchandise and her wages will be holy to the Lord. It will not be stored or hoarded, but her merchandise will supply abundant food and fine clothing for those who dwell before the Lord. In that day, Tyre's wealth will be holy, set apart for the Lord. The most wonderful thing is going to happen on this earth one day, when Christ sets up His kingdom on this earth. Wealth will no longer be hoarded. It'll be used in the most profitable way possible to make sure that everybody can live productive, fruitful lives that's completely free of economic suffering. Tyre's wealth is going to be used to meet the needs of the world. Think about this. When Jesus comes back to this earth, He is going to meet every need in this world. No person is going to lack anything. All of our needs will be met. But what about today? We know that's what's going to happen out there in the future, but what about today? What about the needs that confront us now, our finances, our jobs? What about our need for food or clothing or housing or adequate shelter or things that have hurt people with extreme weather? There's an endless number of needs that exist among people today. What can the Messiah, Jesus Christ, our Lord, do to help meet those needs now? Well, He gives us the most wonderful promise in the Word of God, that if we will seek God and we'll seek His kingdom first, He will meet all of our needs. If we believe in Jesus Christ, if we turn our lives over to Him, if we obey His Word, He promises to provide us with the basic necessities of life. Maybe not with all the things you want, but He'll make sure you have food and clothing and housing. Now, that doesn't mean we're to sit around and be lazy waiting for God to meet those needs. To the contrary, the Lord teaches we're to work diligently at our jobs, to be faithful in all of our tasks. When we're faithful, He makes sure that our basic needs are met. If by chance we're unemployed, but diligently trying to find jobs to provide for our families, he'll provide for us. I remember when I was young, my dad had died when I was five. My mom didn't get married for another 7 years to my stepdad then. And so there was a long period there that it was just my mom raising three boys by herself. And there would be times where she would take the last bit of money to go pay some bills and wouldn't know where she's going to have money for food. And me and my brothers were like, we'll break open our little piggy banks, which wasn't enough to get any food, but then, you know, what you think is a little kid, we'll give you what we've got. There'd be times we'd be going out to do that to pay a bill and come home, and there'd be a bag of groceries sitting on the front porch. God providing. That happens all the time for those who are faithful to the Lord. When we're faithful to him, he'll provide for us. The Lord has to provide if we're faithful, because if he didn't, he would be untrue to his word. So you can rest assured that the Lord never lies. He's always faithful to fulfill his promises. Maybe not in the way we think, but if we're genuinely trusting him, if we're doing all we can to meet our needs, he will provide for us if we follow after him. Here's the wonderful promise of his word. Matthew 6:33 says, "But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you." Mark 9:23 says, "And Jesus said to him, 'If you can, all things are possible for one who believes.'" John 6:35 says, "Jesus said to them, 'I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me shall not hunger, and whoever believes in me shall never thirst.'" Romans 8:28 says, "And we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good, for those who are called according to his purpose." 2 Corinthians 4:17 says, "For this light momentary affliction is preparing us for an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison." 2 Corinthians 12:9 says, "But he said to me, 'My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly of my weaknesses, so that the power of Christ may rest upon me." Ephesians 3:20 says, "Now to him who is able to do far more abundantly than all that we can ask or think, according to the power at work within us." Let me encourage you. Judgment will come, but you keep focused on the promises of God, and you'll find rest in the promises of God's word. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for this lesson that we have learned from the city of Tyre, this city that was stripped of their former glory. Father, our nation has been blessed for so many years, and Lord, we sit on the razor's edge of going one direction or another, of experiencing your blessing or experiencing your judgment. And Father, I pray that we would do what Isaiah told the people of Tyre to do, to humble themselves before you. Help us, Lord, to humble ourselves before you have to humble us. Father, I pray that you would have your hand upon us, Lord, to protect us, to bless us in this great nation. Help us, Lord, to never take the blessings that you've given us for granted, but Lord, to use those blessings to be a blessing to others around us and around the nation and around the world. Father, use us in a great and mighty way. Help us, Lord, to keep our focus on you and to rest in the promises of your word, that if we follow you, you will meet those needs that we have. Thank you so much, Lord, for this word that we've received tonight. In Jesus' name we pray, amen and amen. Thank you so much for being here tonight. Thank you for joining with us there on our social media platforms. We look forward to seeing you this coming Sunday, 9:15 for Sunday school, 10:30 for worship. Come and join us if you can in person. You'll receive a wonderful blessing just by being amongst other believers. But you come and join us if you can. If you can't, just remember those social media platforms are there, Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, as well as our phone live streaming. So thank you for being there. We'll see you this coming Sunday. You have a blessed week and a safe week.